Blog Talk Radio.
To another episode of Kentucky at Grassroots Radio. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties right now, but in just a minute we'll be having our guest on, and he has called in. So we're going to have a special guest with us, Metro Council mayoral debate, our mayoral candidate, Bob DeVore. Bob, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. How about you, Matt?
Doing pretty good. Well, we had that little small crisis averted. We didn't actually spend too much time on that, so glad to have you on the show with us today. How are we doing?
Oh, just great, just great. We're ready to fire, and let's rock and roll with it, Matt.
All right, so basically, we've really kind of unpacked your campaign over the last month or so and gone over some of the various issues and your positions on them. But one thing we need to do is kind of go ahead and turn our eyes to the competition. You are in a primary debate right now, so we'll focus on your main primary candidate, competitor, I guess that would be the right word. The competitor, her name is Angela Leet. She's a Metro Councilwoman with Louisville. Let me ask you this. I know that there is a lot of money being thrown her way. When you go into this race, you have to consider things, why you want to run and stuff like that. And so obviously the question is, with Angelina's campaign, what are some of your biggest concerns with her as the Republican candidate for mayor?
Well, the three main biggest concerns are tax increases, utility metro utilities, and metro debt, and of course safety and welfare of our citizens. The increase on taxes, she's been there for 3 years, she had really hadn't said anything about that. It's more like a hush-hush. You know, we don't want to talk about tax increases. We'll take in the money, take in the funds, but we won't say a word about it. And then when it comes to utility costs, oh, my goodness gracious. You look at your bill and you say, okay, I'm spending $40 on water, and where is this other $100 going to, you know? And then the debt itself, $30 million last year on top of everything else. And all of a sudden, Angelique said it's okay to increase the debt. I'm sorry, I thought she was a Republican. I thought Republicans were trying to lower the debt, not increase it. And then when it comes to safety and welfare of our citizens, goodness gracious, in the past 4 years, she's been in Metro Council, and at least 110 homicides for every year she's been in Metro Council. And what has she done? Has she brought any really good solutions to the table? Has she thought about maybe bringing in the citizens on West End and saying, hey, what are your ideas? No, she hasn't. Yeah, what do you think about that?
You know, something I think about is just really understanding that 440 people, that is a neighborhood. A whole neighborhood of our city was wiped out in vicious homicides. Now, I remember we were talking earlier, it wasn't on the show, how many of those homicides have been solved by the police?
And that's a very good point. There was an issue brought up, and it was at the Tea Party, and a lady brought this concern up. There was like, in Louisville, there were like 400 unsolved homicides, unsolved murders, and they maybe, if they're lucky, six of those homicides were solved. I mean,
wow.
This is sad. Where are we going with this? Go ahead.
You get, like, you know, the crime to happen. You could say, well, okay, well, the criminals were doing this. But when you have that many homicides, and, like, I'm trying to figure this, like, that's only like 1 or 2, maybe a couple percent of all the homicides that are just totally left there, you know, and it's really a sign that not only like government's not working. I mean, we're just talking about homicides. Let's not even try to fathom the amount of overdoses and the drug epidemic and everything that's gone on with that that's been wiping out our city, because that's a much more massive statistic. But
that's correct.
Yeah, I mean, like, when these things are going on, you know, and you're wondering about your survival, what about your safety? I mean, even if you live a good life, what about the people around you? So,
and that's one thing we need to really do. You know, be aware of your surroundings, and then we are the caretakers for each other. You know, and I hate to go biblical on this. You know, you be God first and our neighbor second. And who is our neighbor? Everybody around us. And it's our responsibility to be caretakers. You know what I mean. Caretakers.
Oh, yeah.
of our life, of our family.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We do have to look out for each other. We don't have to be the nanny state. We don't have to, like, overdo it. And that's one thing that we worry about the most. But we do have to worry about those in our community.
Angela's
been in
Mexico. Go ahead. Let me add one more thing. You're right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, she's been in for about, you know, 3 years now. And, you know, the thing about the Metro Council is that, you know, when you're in that position, you give the okay for whatever goes on. So, you know, on one hand, she might be, you know, I imagine that she might be arguing with Mayor Fisher, arguing with the institution on a lot of different topics, but also, you know, it's just like a football game. You got to look at how many wins did you have out of all these games, you know.
And that's very true. Then why are they taking the playbook from the California saying, you know, I don't think we should worry about homicides. I think we should worry about the health and welfare of our fast food places and make sure they're doing their job. And I'm going, wait a minute. Are we getting our priorities backwards here. Shouldn't we take care of the homicides so those won't happen again and let the private industry take care of their own instead of being micromanaging little things like that? To me, that's just backwards, you know? And I know Angelique might have said, I disagree with mental counsel, but how far is she really going to go with that, you know? And I think it's all talk, to be honest with you.
So what are some things that to you would indicate that she has not lived up to a conservative ideal with some of the things that she's advocated for dealing with metro government and Louisville?
Well, she was the one that headed out for the $30 million stadium, soccer stadium. Over there on U of L, we have a brand new soccer stadium already been built. I mean, I don't know why we don't utilize that. And to me, as an executor of and that's what a mayor is, she or I will have to make those critical points on how we spend our money. And another thing is they're always in a reactionary mode. They don't really have a vision. If you think about it, even the state does this. They'll do a budget for 2 years, but they don't have the courage enough to say, hey, we need to do a budget looking into the next 10 years and how we utilize our resources and do what's right for our families and our citizens. And she's not willing to do that. And all she wants to do is run around that same political tree and give you generic responses. But if you ask her that same specific question saying, okay, Angela, how are you planning on decreasing the homicides in Louisville? She really can't give you a specific answer, you know? And my thing is this, we need to find ways to do that. And to me, we need to bring these critical citizens to the table and say, look, it's not about me as mayor. It's about all of us doing what's right for Louisville. You know, what happened to our public transportation, you know? Yeah, I had friends out there who were trying to find a way to get to work. Did she talk about that? No, she doesn't. Does she talk about the increase in taxes? No, she doesn't. Does she talk about all these backdoor places? It's the insurance thing. This is a big, big fallacy with out there. Is they got an open-ended clause on there that can take much taxes on that. If you look at every bill you got there, there's always a little clause there. Well, this is insurance to help you. And really? No, you're helping them. And this is the key point. This is not our money. This is taxpayer money that we are responsible for. And she's not really saying that. All she's doing is saying things in generic tones. And we need to find a way to stop that. Now, you had Amazon out there going, hey, we have $3.5 billion worth of resources. We want to bring it back to the United States. Why can't Louisville say, hey, let's set up our infrastructure. Let's get ready for the next opportunity. And then wait for that opportunity to come up there, and next thing you know, boom. We have Apple right down there on West End. We have jobs down the West End. We have educational skills focusing up towards that end, and we're getting our citizens back to work. Our citizens have pride in their own backyards. They're taking care of their backyards because now they're taking care of their families. But is she talking about that? No, she is not. Do you agree with that point?
You know, let me go back a little bit because I just wanted to kind of unpack this a little bit. You said it's $30 million that she's wanting to spend on this soccer stadium, right?
That's correct.
Right? Okay. You see, it'd be one thing if it was just, well, that's the Democrats doing what they do. But now we're on the conservative side of things, and she, you know, when we have infrastructure problems, and we have high tax rates, you know, now, well, let's just go ahead and just spend our money on something. You know, you mentioned it earlier, U of L has a soccer stadium. And when we talk about sports, Louisville is not a soccer town, okay? This is not what we are bred for, okay? I mean, when I was growing up, there was no soccer. Period. And I'm not like an old fogey either, okay? I'm under 40. But the thing is that you have a group, Jim McWaters from the Bluegrass Institute give a lecture over at the Louisville Tea Party, and he discussed this. And the fact is that when we talk about sports stadiums, even the best ones, they don't turn out to be the huge money-making investments that everybody fantasizes over. And they may seem wild. You're thinking, oh, well, they pay the players so much. Exactly. There's a lot of overhead costs. But basically, when you have these stadiums and stuff, even the best, most popular sports, they're not really making a lot of money for the community. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that we need to spend money on this? And what is on their mind that they would think, yeah, this is a time for soccer fans? Now, let me go ahead and give speculation. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I know that, you know, you're not necessarily endorsing my idea or anything like that, okay? But in my mind, if I'm a business person, I'm looking at demographics, I'm probably hoping, if I really am sold by this idea, which I wouldn't be anyway, but if I am sold by this idea, I'd probably think maybe I'm going to get my demographics from the international community, okay? And when I'm thinking the international community, that would probably include those who are not legally here. Meanwhile, this is also an issue that we're dealing with because we're dealing with a sanctuary city that we don't want to be a sanctuary no more. We want to have, you know, Louisville for Louisvillians. And, you know, don't get me wrong, okay, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting to sell whoever, and, you know, God bless all the people who've legally immigrated here. But the fact is that it makes me question, are they going to be really, you know, is she going to be diligent about the issue of illegal immigration? You know, and if she's not, are we going to lose the tax money that comes from comes to us, the federal grants and stuff that comes to us, because we are, you know, dug in as a sanctuary city?
That's correct, Matt. And the point is, when she brought this issue up, a friend of mine said, and I quote, "I can't believe it. I think Angela Lee is turning into Greg Fisher in front of my eyes." And I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen. She's going to follow the same path that has been set before, because she's not going to counter that and be a true conservative and say, hey, we got to find ways to, you know, downsize our administration. And I don't believe she's going to do that. I think she's going to do the opposite, to be honest with you.
And, you know, this kind of, you know, to me, this is like Ann Northup all over again. Now, we had Ann Northup in office. She was a liberal Republican, and she's like, hey, I'm showing the way. You don't, if you just, you know, have a little bit more compassion, you know, don't be so penny-pinching and conservative, and everybody will like you, and everything's great. And, you know, then she got her clock cleaned by John Yarmuth. And John Yarmuth stopped down to the podium for his inauguration, and he says, real liberalism beats liberalism light every day of the week. And, you know, you got to kind of wonder, like, you know, is she really going to be able to sway, you know, this whole idea of let's just go to the middle. If you just go to the middle, then everybody will love you, you know. I don't think there's any reality in that. You know, I mean, it makes me wonder, I mean, is she going to charge up the base to win the day? I don't see that. I don't see that campaign really being that effective as much as Ann Northup's campaign against John Yarmuth was ineffective.
That's correct.
Now,
let's see here.
I'm looking at something. Go ahead.
No, my point was, I don't think there's really a difference between Ann Northup and Greg Fisher. And if you look at her past, she did talk about Sanctuary City, but she really kind of touched on it. And I'm a believer that we need to be conservative with our money, conservative with our resources, and do what's right for our citizens and put them first.
Yeah,
I have feelings she's not.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Bob, we know that you ran for mayor previously, And the fact is, and me being a political insider, knowing the way things go, you did not receive any support from the Republican Party. Nobody helped you at all. And in a, you know, Democrat town with no support, you got 37% of the vote. And to
That's
me,
correct, sir.
What would happen if you came in and won the primary and actually got the Tea Party and the conservatives and the Republicans to actually stand up for something and to work with you? You know, I believe that, and the thing is, what if they had? I mean, what kind of city would we have had if Bob DeVore had already been mayor? If Bob DeVore had actually cut the taxes and kept some people from some businesses from escaping Louisville and running into all these other counties.
Then I've kept my promise.
By the way,
business first.
And by the way, tell us about what's been going on. Because we were talking about this earlier with Amazon and some different companies and stuff. We have to remember this when we're kind of looking at this decision.
Well, the key point is that we need to be proactive in getting our city ready for that opportunity. And the Mayor Greg Fisher is always saying he's compassionate about everything else. The Metro Council is saying the same exact thing. And to me, they're not getting anywhere. It's almost like getting your car stuck in the mud and your wheels go round and round. And what's happening? You got the car all mudded up. And I think citizens are sick and tired of the mud flashing, the mud going on with their councilman and the mayor itself. They're tired of it.
All right. So we're going to be stuck right now as far as, like, you know, in a huge amount of debt. How are some ways that we can, and I know we're not big on this as conservatives, but what are some ways that we can generate more tax revenue in the city?
Well, Lee McConway came up with these ideas, and they're kind of far-fetched, but I think it has some practical implications to it. Number one, if you go down the highways and you're trying to drive the speed limit, you're gonna get smacked. I mean, these guys going around you like they're just standing still. They're averaging between 10, 15 miles above the speed limit. So why can't we just go and raise the speed limit to help them at the same time increase our revenue? You know, if they use more gas, they buy more gas, which means that increases revenue, which helps us pay the bills. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I saw this, and the economy brought this up again, and it's not my answer, but I'm going to kind of tab onto it. Why not go ahead and sponsor some of the roads, some bridges, some of our, even our neighborhoods, and say, hey, look, If UPS says they're going to take over the California neighborhood down the West End, why not? Because they're the ones going to invest that money into that neighborhood. They're the ones that are going to put their liability on the counter and saying, this is going to be our neighborhood. We're going to help them. And at the same time, they'll be able to advertise. And to me, you're building ownership within the community. And the road's the same way. I mean, we're like $230 million in debt just on road repairs. But if you go downtown, you hit every pothole down there, every 500 feet, because either they're trying to fix the road or they just can't do it. They can't keep up with it. You know, to me, that's pretty sad. We need to focus on what's best for our citizens and do what's right. And 24/7 bus transportation will help them tremendously. But no one's talking about that. We can't do that. We can't afford it.
You know, that is a brilliant solution. The fact is that, you know, I was going to say that's a brilliant solution because basically you have a situation where that would help out the businesses because they would advertise more. It helps out the community, and it also helps the economy because as they're advertising, they're buying money for advertising, and so everything keeps on going, you know. The whole system would get to work more, and it wouldn't cost the taxpayer. That's just one of those things where it's like, that's a no-brainer to me. Why haven't we talked about that?
Yeah, and the thing is, they'll be responsible for maintaining the infrastructure and they'll help supervise the cleanup of the neighborhoods, and in turn help the businesses and help the organizations and help families try to keep those areas clean. Now you're building confidence within the neighborhood. Now you're building ownership of the neighborhood, because you're having business and families coming together as one. And to me, that's really smart. Now I want to talk about something really touchy here. Now, you and I maybe agree or disagree, but I think we should look at maybe as a possibility of supporting legalization of marijuana as a possible tax base. I mean, if you look at Colorado and all those places, they're in the black. And I think it's something we need to explore on, because it's going to happen sooner or later. They're going to have it in the next 10, 15 years. So, I mean, if it's going to happen, then we might as well go ahead and tax it and use that money to help our neighborhoods, help the victims that are on drug use. Why not go ahead and help them, you know, explore their areas and saying, hey, this is your choice. You made this bad decision. We're going to take this tax money and try to give you a cleaner life. And to me, that's not bad. You can agree or disagree. It's your choice. What do you think?
Well, basically, I stand against the legalization of marijuana. I'm not one of the hardliners. In other words, like, I'm okay with the idea of industrial hemp. I'm on the fence about the medical marijuana. But basically, if we talk about recreational use of marijuana, I totally stand against that. Not only is it just wrong as far as, like, on a moral level, I've seen people who've gotten away, people who've not been arrested and have carried on marijuana use for many years, and they kind of vegetate. You know, the ones who I know about, they're still living with their parents. They're still, you know, just playing video games and not really being a productive part of society. But the danger is that there can be brain damage over years of use, and there can also, you know, have that psychedelic effect, not as strong, but a slight psychedelic effect even to a contact buzz, and I worry about that out in the open community. I do believe that it does have problems with crime and things like that, and, you know, if it gets legalized, you know, I'm in a forced situation, it does make sense to, like, hey, we tax it. But it's hard because even if you tax it, it almost guarantees that the government will never get rid of it. You know, like beer and stuff like that. I also oppose a lot of liquor and drinking and stuff like that. And I know that's just totally entrenched in society because the government makes money off it. But basically, this is just one issue where we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
That's correct. And there's nothing wrong with that.
But let me go ahead and look at some things here. Now, let me just go into the general premise. You promised in the past that you're going to put the citizens first. That, you know, and right now it's kind of an easy comment. But also, you know, it's something that you are devoted as far as, like, you know, I truly will keep the citizen first. And what are the areas that, you know, you're going for and that you're going to do that?
All right. A, I will streamline my administration to focus on daily operations and the needs of all Metro citizens, not just a few. I think there's a lot of bloating when it comes to MSD and other programs that we need to really utilize the auditing system to find out the weaknesses and strengths. B, I would like to see a 24/7 bus transportation throughout Metro Louisville, where you can go from north to south, east to west on public transportation. To me, we need to find ways to give those citizens, our citizens, the access to that transportation so they can get to work, go home, take care of their family. C, I want to see about having a citizens' table discussion where that we can be equal when it comes to communications to all citizens. No matter what organization it is, I will be willing to put myself on the line and say, hey, let's come to the table and this problem here. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our citizens in Louisville. D, I want to encourage JCP to really look into increasing their trade school opportunities for all students. Not only just for them, but maybe at night for the adults, for the ones that really don't have the job skills. It's pretty bad. You know, Lena Conway brought this point up. You can go in there and have a degree for your degree. You have $100,000 over your head because of debt. And a lot of our kids do not have the skill, the real good skill, to really get a good job right out of the gate when it comes to college. And to me, that's pretty sad. So giving trade schools an opportunity for kids to say, hey, I can make good money being an electrician. I can make good money being a plumber. I can make great money being a welder. But last but not least, we got to find a way to revitalize or reinstitute a lot of our resources to the West End. You know, we got to be able to do that because we got to find the ways to get rid of those abandoned buildings down there. We got to find ways to bring job training down there and maybe help our single parent and families, individuals who are trying to work. This gives us this possibility of 24/7 daycare for the kids. Because if you take care of their kids, that's just one thing they don't have to worry about, you know. Because I worked for UPS for 10 years. And we had, it was like a 4-12. We worked 4 days, 12-hour days. And sometimes they were longer than that. And then here you are trying to bust your butt over there, trying to do the job. And you, in the back of your mind, oh, I got to worry about my kids, you know. So if we're going to spend all this useless money on useless stuff, then why not go ahead and take that and use that resource to help that family and create a daycare down the West End and say, hey, we're going to take care of your kids. This is your kids. This is our family. Let's clean up our neighborhood. Let's bring in more youth activities. Why not bring more jobs to our youth in the summer and even the spring break, instead of them out in the middle of the street, you know, kicking a can down the street or messing with stuff that they don't need to do. And all of a sudden they see a needle on the street and guess what they're going to do, you know? And to me, we need to find ways to do that. This our city. Take it back and do what's right for our citizens and put them first.
You know, one of the biggest things is with interviewing you and dealing with you and looking at this campaign, as a conservative and a guy who's been involved with a lot of groups like the Tea Party and Take Back Kentucky and American Family, I have really had stress because the community that I live in and grow up in is not reflecting my values. And I have wanted to see change so bad. And when I see all the horrors and the social evils that go on in this city because they do not reflect those values, and so they don't get those blessings, they just get the curses of going against them, it's really good to kind of say, hey, let me go for somebody who's going to make a difference and who's going to make a change. When you look at Angela Lee, you see somebody, maybe they're well-intentioned, but the fact is that they are in a position that's made them a part of a system. And if you're part of a system, you're not ready to take over the system. Because to take over the system, you have to wield authority and just make the tough decisions and just do it. You look at Trump, you look at Matt Bevin, and what you see is men who were business leaders, executives, and they knew that they had to rule and rule well. And so basically they came in and they start shaking things up and shaking up the institution, you know, and that's what we need, somebody who can shake things up, somebody who's not afraid to say, hey, this is what we need to change. Now let's do that. And I see in your campaign somebody who's ready to do that, who's ready to make those changes. And what we need more than anything else is we need people who agree with that to vote the right way. Because why waste your vote on a compromise that's never going to accomplish? All right.
And then,
well, Bob, it's been good having you. It's been good having you, and we'll go ahead and wrap this up. We'll see you later on Kentucky and a Grassroots Radio.